The Rohingya, or Rohingya as some call the people, live mainly in Burma's Rakhine state. Author Andrea Pitzer had been to Rakhine to research her new book, One Long Night. She says the Rohingya-only enclaves in that part of the country are 21st century versions of concentration camps.
It's mass detention, large groups of people living almost in barracks-style housing with guards and checkpoints.
So would that be classified as a concentration camp? Isn't it more of a transit camp as these people are fleeing the area that they live in?
Well, they weren't built to be transit camps as they fled. They were built to hold them. And in theory, originally, 5 years ago, were supposed to be temporary, and they would be reintegrated back into their communities after rioting and the violence had settled. But it's clear now the government doesn't have a plan or an intention to bring them out of there. And so the fact they're not allowed to come and go, they've been there 5 years, and they're only fleeing now actually out of northern villages, not camps, as the villages are being burned down, I think do make them part of a punitive concentration camp strategy.
When you went to these camps that the Rohingya are in, where did you go? What did you find?
I flew from Yangon, formerly known as Rangoon, which is the big city most people think of if they know anything about Myanmar. And I went to Sitwe, which is the state capital of Rakhine State on the western side of Myanmar. And it's a very rural, extremely poor state. So not just the Rohingya are poor, but everyone there is poor.
We've heard about Rakhine State, but I've heard little about the Rakhine people. And you kind of dig into this. And the narrative is that it's the Buddhist majority army of Myanmar that's going after these Muslim Rohingya. But it sounds also like there's an internal struggle between the Rakhine people and the Rohingya. Is the Myanmar government just letting that play out?
Actually, there's kind of two levels, as you noted. There's this long-term animosity that's local, that now that there's finally democratic government, these Rakhine people, they want to have control over Rakhine State, and they see the Muslims as a threat to that.
So who are the Rakhine people?
They are Buddhist, and they have deep historical roots in the state. They control the state legislature and just see themselves as being threatened by this growing Muslim population that they see as really being from Bangladesh. They don't even call them Rohingya. They don't recognize that word.
What does the central government in Myanmar think about the Rakhine people?
I had heard various people refer to them as snakes in the grass, as drug traffickers, the equivalent of hayseeds. The parallel situation, and I don't want to make it too parallel, but one could see it as not unlike perhaps the Deep South in the 1950s or 1960s in the Jim Crow era.
So these Rakhine people are the ones jailing and harassing the Rohingya, is that right?
They're not necessarily the guards on the camps, but they're the reason the government has kept those camps in place. Their resistance to reintegrating the Rohingya population, I think, has led the federal government to just kind of want to leave the situation where it is.
It's not black and white, though. You say the camp detainees were emphatic about wanting detention to be lifted so they could come and go at will, but they did not seem to mind the armed protection and at times expressed gratitude for his presence. Does that suggest, do you think, Andrea, that if they leave the camp, they would be killed?
It seemed difficult even when I was there in 2015 to imagine the two communities being reintegrated. Now, it's even harder to imagine. I think that there would have to be federal involvement. I think it would be a huge effort, and there would likely be more violence. But I don't think that gets you out of having to deal with the situation.
What do you think would happen to Aung San Suu Kyi if she were to come out unequivocally to state that the camps need to close and the violence against the Rohingya needs to stop?
I don't want to step too far out of my wheelhouse because I'm not an Aung San Suu Kyi expert. I think there would be a massive reaction in the country. This idea of Buddhist nationalism is very strong right now. And it's not just in Myanmar. Right now, worldwide, there's this kind of reactionary phenomenon that we're facing. So I don't want to pretend that she's got an easy situation on her hands.
Andrea Pitzer's new book is called One Long Night, A Global History of Concentration Camps. Thank you very much.
Thank you.